Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Rechte Neckfahne mit dem linken Fuß. Bringt den Ball auf den zweiten Pfosten. Tesche! Tor! 1:0 für den VfL Bochum.
Da draußen ist der Ball frei. Und jetzt ist er drin. Jetzt ist er drin. Und hier ist Botzen, macht das Tor.
Und er ist drin. Buchmann, Buchmann, Buchmann macht das zweite Tor. Da ist das Tor. Der zählt das 2:2. Dresden ist wieder da. Röser ist da.
Für Rausch, der setzt an zur Flanke, da kommt der Ball, Trotte! Tor!
We welcome you to another episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. I am your host, Matthew Carrigich. It's a pleasure to have you with us this evening, this afternoon, or this morning, whenever you are listening to this episode of the podcast. It's another busy schedule ahead of us. We review all the highlights from match day 22. We look ahead to match day 23, and of course we have your topic questions. And today we have a very, very special guest with us. It's a man from Bolton. He's a Bolton Wanderers fan, but you may know him as the social media manager of the VfL Bochum Twitter account. It is a warm welcome to Elliot Turnbull. Elliot, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm very, very, very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you, Elliot. It is a pleasure to have you on. Of course, this is the one and only place for the English side of the Zweite Bundesliga. So let's get straight into it with our Group 1 games. We start in Paderborn. They beat FC Köln 3-2 in a dramatic game of football. The opening was all Köln, a goal to Jean Cordoba just before halftime, and then Anthony Modeste on his return, scoring on the 73rd minute. But the game changed in the final 10 minutes. 3 goals from Bernard Tekpety, an absolute belter by Kai Prager, and former Borussia Mönchengladbach man Marlon Ritter putting the nail in the coffin, giving Paderborn an impressive 3-2 win. Elliot, there's only one way to describe this game. Wow, what a game.
Incredible, isn't it? What a final 10 minutes of 3 goals coming, especially at the end. Second minute of stoppage time. Just quick mention, those 2 goals from Paderborn, last 2 ones.
Yep. Brilliant.
Jesus.
They were brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know if people have seen the highlights or not, but especially with Pruger's goal. I don't know if you agree, but sort of Joe Cole-esque.
Oh, yeah.
England versus Sweden World Cup 2006. Takes it on his chest, the bounce, and then Timo Holm was absolutely helpless with that. Brilliant finish.
It was special. Both goals were special, and both of us being ex-goalkeepers, we sympathise with Timo Holm because there was nothing he could do about either shot. We'll have to talk about Köln because they have, as you were alluding to me off air, they have the 17th best record in the form table. What's going on with them?
I know, well, just for some reason. They made such a stuttering start to 2019 out of their last 4 games, only won 1 and lost 3. I don't know. Watching it, I don't know if I can put my finger in it, but defensively, they didn't look very impressive at all. The late collapse would show you that. I just the manner in which those final 2 goals were conceded. Take nothing away from Pruger and then Ritter, but just so much space in and around the box to have that shot and go away. I know, as a goalkeeper, I wouldn't be too happy with my defence allowing that.
Yeah, they look very shaky defensively. I mean, as of the Dresden game, they had switched to a back 3, and for the most part, they've gotten away with it. But against really good attacking sides, they looked very vulnerable. And that final 10 minutes, they it's some of the worst defending we've seen from them all season. And you know, you don't want to lose a game like they did, but that's football. I mean, you know, 2 goals with 2 goals up with 10 to go, you shouldn't be coughing up a lead like that. So very disappointing for
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, very disappointing, but obviously worth mentioning Anthony Modeste. What a return.
Yeah, good goal. It's going to be an interesting one. We will talk about it in the preview, whether does Marcus Anfang chuck him in? It's going to be an interesting question, and one we will get to in the preview. Our second game from the Group 1 games was in Heidenheim. It was an entertaining 2-2 draw with Hamburg coming from behind twice. Nicholas Dorsch opening the scoring with a beautiful goal through a crowd of players. And then Burke Özcan raised him with an audacious chip of Kevin Muller. Robert Glatzel continued his fantastic form with a goal. And then Pierre-Michel Lasogga It's a pole driving shot from inside the 6-yard box, enough to give Hamburg a share of the spoils. Elliot, I thought this was a fantastic game and one that I think the points were very much well shared.
Yep, definitely agree with that. It's been, shows a lot of grit and determination from Hamburg, how they're able to grind out these sort of results. Especially with the coming back from twice, it was brilliant. Özcan's goal as well, I mean, that definitely the goal of the game. Brilliant little move, lots of 1-2s, and then just precisely dinked it over the high-man goalkeeper. Brilliant to see.
Yeah, and it's not like Kevin Müller is the smallest man on the pitch. He's got some weight and some height, and it was...
He's a big boy.
I was having a watch at it before, and every time you watch it, you can't believe, A, the ball by Lewis Holtby to get Özcan into a position, and then the finish itself was quite wonderful. And I think we have to give a little bit of plaudits to Heidenheim that they've shown this season that they are a very tricky side to beat, especially at home.
Yeah, I mean, if you asked me before the season, I'd have never had them up in fourth, but again, you've got these big tests. The favourites are coming and hosting, and they didn't crumble. They played incredibly well, and yeah, potentially they might feel slightly aggrieved not to come away with all 3 points there, especially with Lasoga's goal. There's an element of fortune in there. How there was a blocked shot, and it just fell perfectly for him. He just fired at home from about 4 or 5 yards out. But I mean, Heidenheim defended brilliantly. I thought they were going to come away with all 3 points, but it has been two brilliant teams, and rightly at the top of the table, showing why they're both promotion candidates.
Absolutely. I mean, the result, obviously, of the previous game was very beneficial for Hamburg. They remain at the top. They've got the gap. It's all looking good for them. And obviously, Heidenheim very much in the conversation, and rightfully so with the way they've played this season for that promotional
only
playoff spot.
I mean, only two points of Union Berlin in second. It's so, so tight at the top.
Yeah, this league is mental, and we've said it, and all the people who get to tune in, we're all fortunate enough that this league is utterly, utterly crazy. The last of our Group 1 games was in Bielefeld. They were beaten 3-1 at the hands of Magdeburg. This game had plenty of controversy, and we're going to start with that. Julian Berner was sent off on the 30th minute, but should have been rescinded, as in the build-up play, there was two players from Magdeburg offside. Elliot, we speak about VAR. We know it has its haters and it has its popular foes. VAR would have eliminated the red card, and it may have been a different game.
Yeah, I mean, later on, I'm sure we'll go into this in slightly more depth, but it all resulted from awful defending from Bielefeld. It was a long punt from the goalkeeper, second ball not defended, slightly clumsy from Berner, but yeah, as you said, both players were way, way offside. It was given last man, but I mean, yeah, if we had VAR, that would have been a free kick for Bielefeld. The resulting free kick was brilliantly finished by former Bochum left back and winger Timo Perthel. So, I mean, a red card and a goal, that is such a sucker punch when in reality should it have stood? Maybe not. Would the fans want VAR? Maybe not, but it would have definitely changed this game.
Yeah, and they do say bad things happen in threes. The three sets, the offside, the red card, the goal, and of course Magdeburg added an extra two. Felix Lockhemper's goal was brilliant, and then Tirpitz scoring from the spot. Fabian Klose did get a goal, and he's shown a decent amount of form since Uwe Neuhaus has taken over from Arminia Bielefeld.
Yeah, it was close to his eighth of the season. And interesting enough, for some reason, it was obviously mustn't like it. It was his first goal at home for 5.5 months. So, delighted the home supporters.
Yes, he definitely did, despite the result. We're going to take a quick break. Do join us. Our Group 2 games are just around the corner. We start with Dresden and Regensburg. Ebert! Yes, and that first Group 2 game was in Dresden. It was the only scoreless draw in what was a very entertaining match day 22. Both sides had plenty of opportunities to get a goal in this game, but neither forthcoming, showcasing that the struggles that both Dresden and Regensburg have had. Elliot, no goals, and two sides that really haven't hit the ground running in 2019.
Yeah, no goals, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't an interesting game. It was the battle of two goalkeepers. Marcus Schubert and Philip Pensko were incredible, and the latter, Regensburg goalkeeper, made it into the Kickers Team of the Week for his performance. There were chances for both teams, but just, especially Dresden, they just seemed to lack the clinical finish in front of their home supporters. But again, it wasn't for lack of trying. Loads of chances, but both goalkeepers stood up tall and put themselves in glory.
Yeah, it's something that both of us would have taken much pleasure in, watching two shot stoppers at their peak. And Penke in particular was fantastic. He's made multiple reflex saves, and he actually made that really good free kick save off Patrick Ebert just before half time. And you love that. I mean, you know, with free kicks, you know, keepers can get caught out of position when they make the initial step, but he made a superb recovery to make what was a really, really good save that was going on target. You did mention about the lack of clinicalness with Dresden going forward. We do talk about Moussa Kone quite a lot on this program. He always seems to do well to get in positions, but for some reason, he just lacks the finishing touch.
Yeah, exactly. You caught comment on the many reflex saves. They were brilliant saves, but you could argue that in those positions, the goalkeeper just shouldn't be given a chance. You bury it in a corner or put it either side. Lack of composure, nerves, but whatever it is, Dresden, they do need a win. I think they're winless in their last four, losing three, drawing the one. Potentially should have taken all 3 points the weekend, but can't take anything away from the goalkeepers there.
Absolutely, and we cannot agree much more with that. The second of our Group 2 games was at the Millantor, St. Pauli hosting Erzgebirger Aue, and just like the curse has been for so many, many years, Erzgebirger Aue taking a 2-1 win over St. Pauli. It was the perfect start for the boys in brown when Christopher Buchmann scored on the 10th minute. But then Jan Holscheid turned the game around by himself, two goals on the 29th and 49th, giving the Saxony club all 3 points. Elliot, this is exactly what Aue needed. They've had a tough start to 2019, but this will help.
Mm. Well, this is why we love the league as well. What an incredible result away at a promotion-chasing team. And yeah, I mean, St. Pauli don't like it against Aue, don't they?
No, I think if Aue played St. Pauli for 34 match days, they'd probably win the league.
that ninth consecutive winless game is ridiculous. But take nothing away from the visitors. They thoroughly deserve the win, I'd say. Quite funny with the first goal from Hochscheid. Don't know if you've seen, but cross comes in, powering header straight at the crossbar, but it just falls perfectly from again. He manages to get it well and puts it in past the St. Pauli goalkeeper. But, I mean, again, that is a big defeat. Big, big defeat for the Hamburg side. If they're wanting to have any realistic goal of going up, they had to have seen that as 3 points. But again, they're bogey team. Don't know why.
Yeah, we don't. And that's, it may be the big reason why they don't go up or even make the promotional playoffs. But again, this is a team we expect them to beat. But for some strange reason, Aue just find a way, and they did it once again. Our last Group 2 game came from Holstein Kiel. And this was another belter. Goals very much in the order. It was 2-2 against Greuther Fürth. Julian Green opening the scoring on 50 minutes before Atikan Karazar levelling the scoring. And then a moment of madness from Kenneth Kronholm. He gave up possession on the sideline. And then, don't take away from the finish, Marco Caligiuri did fantastically well to get the ball into the back of the net from that angle.
What the finish?
It was superb. Don't take it away from it. It was a very difficult effort. But as we've seen from Holstein Kiel so many times this season, they don't know when they're beaten. And Harkval, in 4 minutes of added time, equalising, giving Kiel a share of the spoils. Elliot, I thought Fürth were quite good in this game, and they might feel a little bit bitter that they didn't come away with all 3 points.
Potentially, yes. But for both Fürth goals, it is Kiel just shooting themselves in the foot, really. I mean, with the penalty, potentially there was minimal contact, but he gave the referee no decision, lunging in such a ridiculous way. And yeah, you alluded to the Kiel goalkeeper, Kenneth Kronholm. What was he thinking? I mean, even before the goal, he was nearly punished for a really, really sloppy pass, gifted it to the first striker, who eventually forced an average save. But it's just two stupid mistakes to give away that two-goal lead. But again, they don't know when they're defeated. Credit coming back and to equalise in such a dramatic 94th minute goal. I had a friend who's up in Kiel who was at the game, said that it was, I think to quote, it was limbs at the full-time whistle as such a dramatic goal. But I don't know, again, for Kiel, from my perspective from the game, I thought they, all of their wrongdoings were from their own accord.
Yeah, and it's not the first time this season that they've shot themselves in the foot and gotten away with it, essentially. And they've got to avoid these mistakes. You know, they're a team that we rate quite highly. They've showcased with their quality when they've had players injured. They've always had that next man up mentality. And if we're to take them seriously, I mean, you know, we've seen how poor Fürth have been. You know, they bring in Stefan Lytle, and he's done a decent job so far, 4 points out of six since coming over. But these are the games they've got to win. You know, same with St. Pauli just before us. These are the games we expect them to win, and if they don't, then it's hard to legitimise their candidacy for promotion.
Do you think that this result may be end of their promotion hopes?
I don't think so. I still think they're in the hunt, but you know, they got to avoid results like this. I still think they're very much in the hunt. They've got this mentality under Tim Walter that I really like, that they, you know, even if they're having an off game, they just find a way to get results. And I think it's a good quality to have, but again, must avoid results like this.
But it is true, yeah. 90th minute, I mean, the keeper was up for the free kick as well. It is just literally throw the kitchen sink forward. We don't know when we're beaten, so credit to get the points after two stupid goals.
Indeed. We are going to head to our Group 3 games shortly, which we're going to start in Duisburg as they hosted Union Berlin.
Akaki Gogia Schul, der Torschütze. Und da ist das Tor für Union, da ist Anderson.
Yes, and we start our Group 3 games in Duisburg. They were beaten 3-2 by Union Berlin. Robert Schul getting the scoring started on the 11th minute. And then Harvard Nilsson raised him an excellent free kick just on half time to give Duisburg a little bit of hope. Lucas Freuder put Duisburg ahead on 56 minutes, but then Marcel Hartl got the Union Berlin side level. And then in stoppage time, it was heartbreaker. Sebastian Andersson headed home, and Akaki Gogia, I'll get the pronunciation right someday, to give
Berlin,
it is, but you know, we learn, to give Union not only a crucial road win, just their second of the season, but they also move up to second ahead of FC Köln. Elliot, this was a big win for Union, but this was a devastating defeat to Duisburg as they now sit bottom of the standings.
Yeah, no, and I mean, over the second away win of the season, it's ridiculous how their home form will compensate. But yeah, added the misery to Duisburg, but on reflection, probably a fair result, I've got to say. Union Berlin, they look so good going forward. Potentially the back defensive frailties will cost them, but I mean, what a huge win. And I get it, it's not all doom and gloom at the bottom for Duisburg. They're still in and around it, only 3 points off Ingolstadt in 16th, but yeah, time is slowly running out.
Yeah, that clock is ticking, and it is getting very difficult for Thorsten Lieberknecht, who's probably thinking he's getting flashbacks of what happened to him last season at Eintracht Braunschweig, and I'm sure he doesn't want to repeat, but things need to change.
Gotta give a big mention for Nielsen's free kick. Oh. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant goal.
And it was the hallmark of what was a bunch of magnificent goals we saw in the league. And how could you not like this league? This league just provides on a weekly basis.
We've had drama, controversy, just incredible goals. Very, very good game week.
Just imagine not liking this league. The second of those Group 3 games came from Ingolstadt. They hosted VfL Bochum. It was a 2-1 win for Ingolstadt, a crucial win which gets them out of the bottom two and into the relegation playoff spot. A brace for Sonny Kittel, which was crucial for him because he hasn't had the heights of last season. And of course, it was a first Bochum and Zweite Bundesliga goal for Vitali Janolt. Fantastic work for him. Elliot, it was an interesting game, but I can't help but feel like Ingolstadt were worthy of the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, the less time spent, this the better. Very, very disappointing performance from Bochum. But yes, I've got to say the hosts were deserved winners. But I mean, for my team, for Bochum, third consecutive defeat. There's a bit of an internal inquest at the club to sort of find the root of our problems and sort of wonder why we've sort of struggled for the past few games.
Yeah, I mean, like, they headed into the winter break in great form. They beat Köln at Köln, but they very much haven't got restarted in 2019.
No. And a few people potentially questioned the Bochum goalkeeper, Manuel Riemann, for a couple of goals. And it is a talking point. He potentially made a mistake for one of the goals at the weekend and received a fair bit of stick, which Tim Hoogland, don't know if you've seen this, but in his post-match press conference, which is available to read on VfL Bochum English online, he sort of came out and said, "We're a family, we stand together, this includes the fans. They've got a right to be angry and jeer at us. However, I don't tolerate what happened to our players out there today. We know where we're going wrong, but insults below the belt really doesn't help anyone." So it's a difficult time for Bochum, but one where everyone would need to come together and make sure that they kick on at the weekend against Kiel.
Yeah, and it's not all doom and gloom for Bochum. I mean, as you were alluding to me just before off air, that they're 9 points off a potential promotion place in the playoffs. I don't think there's need to panic, but obviously, you know, when they're in a position to potentially challenge, they've kind of fallen out of that way.
Yeah, no, I think hopes of relegation have gone out the window. Hopes of promotion. A lot of the emphasis will be potentially to give some of the younger players a game and even just restore a bit of pride, really. The three defeats on the trot really isn't form which VfL deserved. But, I mean, credit where it's due for. Janel did score a brilliant goal, his first of his professional career in the second division. So it is good seeing talent coming through, but I mean, just silly defensive mistakes and inconsistency, which will eventually have cost Bochum a spot in the top three. But I think if you compare the squad to the teams at the top, they're a way off that quality, really.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But they've shown this season that that at their very best, they can very much compete with the best in the league.
Mm. They show with the victory at Cologne.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have to wait and see on them and see if they can respond. And we'll talk about that in our preview. The last of our Group 3 games is in Sandhausen. They drew 1-1 with Darmstadt. Fabian Schleusner getting the opening goal and then Tobias Kemper levelling the scores on 34 minutes. But of course, it wasn't enough to save Dirk Schuster's job. He was out as Darmstadt manager yesterday, or Monday, if you're listening to the podcast later in the week. Replacement is yet to be found, but I'm sure they'll be taking their time with that. Elliot, we will talk about this later in the topic questions with Dirk Schuster,
yep.
But you know, Darmstadt have been on a slide, and for Sandhausen, it's not a particularly great result against a Sandhausen team that is consistently pretty awful to watch.
Yep, I mean, the game wasn't the best, but Sandhausen could potentially feel slightly hard done by not to come away with all 3 points. I think with Kemper's penalty, replays do show that there was minimal contact there. Stupid diving in the way that he did, but coaches weren't happy with this at halftime. They had a bit of a row on the pitch, and unfortunately for Schuster, it's resulted in him and losing his job. But again, football is a results-driven business, and we'll talk about it later, but if you look at their form, potentially could be the correct call.
Yeah, Again, we will talk about this in the topic question in a bit more depth. As for Sandhausen, I mean, Fabian Schleusner has been their go-to guy this season. I think he's got 9 goals in the league. It's hard to imagine where they would be if he wasn't in their team.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I mean, to talk about another one with the clock's ticking, they are starting to be cut adrift at the bottom, Sandhausen. So, yeah, potentially they will regret not getting all 3 points.
Yeah, it's not looking good for SVS. Do join us. We're going to take a quick intermission break. Match day 23 preview is just around the corner. Yes, and we welcome you back to the program from our quick intermission break. Our Group 1 games are about to begin, and we have a bit of a surprise as our top Spieler of the week. It is Magdeburg versus Paderborn, the two promoted sides. They are, in fact, the best two sides of 2019. Magdeburg topped that table. When the two sides met last time out, we were treated to an 8-goal thriller with the score at 4-4. Elliot, this game actually promises to be quite an entertaining one. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the stats, it's a hard one to call, isn't it, really? I think Paderborn, he said, never won this fixture. Both teams, especially if we're going into the past 5 games, Paderborn won 4, lost 1, so have to be given favourites. But then saying that away from home, I don't know. How do you see this one going? It's a tricky one.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea. I agree with you in edging for Paderborn, but Magdeburg have improved quite dramatically. Defensively, they are a lot better. And especially under Mikael Erning, those sorts of results that they were dropping early on in the season in those heartbreaking fashions, they aren't doing. I mean, they were, you know, they did what they had to do against 10-man Bielefeld. They got the 1-goal win against Ingolstadt and Erzgebirger Aue. They've shown us that, you know, they're up for the fight. That said, you know, Paderborn is a fantastic offensive team. They are very quick going forward. Their transition game is unreal. I can't pick that. I think I would edge Paderborn, maybe like 2-1.
I think, yeah. But I think with that, the way they play, Paderborn potentially better suited away from home. I saw it a few weeks ago when they came and played at the Ruhrstadion in Bochum. They just got so much pace on the wings, will quickly get in behind you on the counter-attack and make it pay. So, potentially, I don't know, they're not coming in as underdogs, of course, but away from home, they'll probably be on the back foot a fair bit and then hope to catch them on the counter-attack. But this one should be a very interesting game. Definitely keep an eye on it.
It is our top Spieler for a reason, and certainly the match to watch. Another good game to watch in our Group 1 fixtures is Union Berlin versus Armenia Bielefeld. When the two sides met last time out, it was a 1-1 draw. In fact, the last 3 fixtures between these two sides have been a 1-all draw. Elliot, we know how strong Union Berlin are at home this season. Is it likely that they will continue this trend?
I would think so, yeah. I can't look past Union Berlin for this. Buoyed by a very good result away from home this weekend, I would fully expect them to kick on and, yeah, continue their fight for promotion, which will be an incredible feat.
Yes, it will be. Their home form is irresistible. They're the only team yet to lose away from home. They've rarely dropped points. And I think Bielefeld have a very tough task. That being said, they are a much improved side under Uwe Neuhaus. He's very much instilled a confidence into the side that we didn't see early on in the season. And, you know, they're a sneaky chance, but you'd be hard-pressed to not back Union in this one.
Yeah, no, definitely. But then, saying that, Bielefeld, they will be looking for a positive result after the disappointment this weekend. So, who knows? Again, could be a very good game.
It should be indeed. The last of our Group 1 games is in Borkum at the Ruhrstadion. They take on Holstein Kiel. When the two sides met early on this season, it was an entertaining 2-2 draw. In fact, the teams have only met three times in the Zweite Bundesliga, and there's only been one victory, and that was to Holstein Kiel. So, Elliot, you know, Borkum obviously lost the last three games. Can they get a response against a very good Holstein Kiel side?
My heart says yes, of course, but no, really, this is going to be an extremely tough game for VfL. Obviously, 2-2 in the last fixture, but Kiel were unlucky not to win then, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were to win again at the weekend. Confidence isn't too high at the moment in Bochum. Last home game against Paderborn was disappointing as well, but I don't know. We're looking for a response, and that I know that the players are working incredibly hard. There's an inquest amongst the players, and we're trying to rally, get the fans behind us for this game. It is going to be huge, but Kiel, realistically, they could have a faint chance of promotion again. They're only, they're only 3 points off Köln in third place, so they're coming here, nothing to lose really, playing for something, whereas I think at the moment we're just playing for pride. If we lose four on the spin, then that could be, well, yeah, you would not fear for Dutt at all, but questions will be asked.
Well, I'm going to put you in the hot seat for this one. It's not totally
left
field, but
please don't.
If you're Robin Dutt in this situation, how would you try and set the team up to counter such a dangerous Holstein Kiel midfield and attacking prowess?
Oh, this is good. First of all, I wouldn't change the goalkeeper. I think there's been talk about that. I would stick with Manny Riemann, have confidence in him, because he will come good again, that is for sure. To counter that, I'd probably play one holding midfielder and then basically play five in midfield, but one, maybe Anthony Lazila, just have him sitting very, very deep, sort of anchoring the midfield. And then, we can have, with Chung Yung Lee and also Dollar, offensively, we do have a lot going for us, but it is going to be, I do know, having watched it at the weekend, they will probably sit back and play on the counter, so probably counter that with strength numbers and then catch them the same. It's a huge game, and I'm very excited for this, but nervous, not going to lie.
That indeed, that's good to hear. Well, there you have it. That's how Borkum should line up, and let's see if Robin Dutt goes with that. We're going to take a quick break. Our Group 2 games begin with the league leaders, Hamburger SV, travelling to Regensburg. And the first of our Group 2 games brings us to Bavaria in Regensburg. They take on the ladder leaders, Hamburg. When the two sides met last summer, it was a 5-0 win to Jahn Regensburg. But a lot has changed since then. Jahn have really struggled to find the back of the net. In fact, they are scoreless in their last three. Elliot, any chance they can turn it around this time around?
If we're going off form on the table, unlikely, but who would have expected them to hit five away at Hamburg? What a ridiculous result that was. But they've failed to score in their last three. Hamburg, billing the business at the weekend, grinding a point out, and they will be looking to add to their rivals' poor form of late and sort of build a bit of a gap at the top. So I would put money on Hamburg getting all 3 points here. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, we've seen Haasfeld being able to grind out wins. They're fantastic defensively away from home. They have the best away record in the league. You look at Jahn, they're really struggling to find the back of the net. The guys that they rely on for their goals in Marco Grüttner and Sargis Adamyan really haven't got going in 2019. And if they, it seems like a very tough situation. I think Hamburg, will have plenty of possession. They'll try and control the tempo of the game. And I think eventually, one way or another, I think they'll either win at 1 or 2-0. I think they'll just be too strong for them. Yeah.
They've got too much quality in the squad, I think, against Regensburg.
Absolutely. It is very hard to disagree. We're going to go to Hamburg, but it's going to be St. Pauli. They host Ingolstadt. When the two sides met last time, it was a Ryo Miichi goal which gave St. Pauli a 1-0 win. Some interesting facts in this fixture is the Wade team has won this fixture the last three times. And in fact, when Ingolstadt last played at the Millantor, they won 4-0.
Ooh.
So there's some juicy news. In fact, the last time St. Pauli won this fixture at home was in July of 2011. So it's another bogey side for St. Pauli at home. Could Ingolstadt steal another victory?
I mean, yeah, St. Pauli win this in their last two. If we're going on that, potentially, yes. But you've got to expect a reaction from St. Pauli. I mean, two disappointing results. I'd fully back them. Oh, yeah, you mentioned Real Miachi, former Bolton Wanderers, Loney. Got to give the club a little shout-out. But, yeah, no, I would fully expect a home victory here.
Yeah, he's... Yourself? I'm backing probably the draw here. I think it's probably going to end 1-1. I think Ingolstadt have improved immensely, especially on the defensive end under Jens Keller. Most of his signings have worked quite well. Merger Mavroy has been quite solid, despite some of his antics in some of the games. And I think having a stable goalkeeper in Philip Chawner has certainly aided that. As we've spoken so many times on the podcast this season, they've gone through four goalkeepers in 22 matches, which tells you all you need to know about the goalkeeping at the club.
Ridiculous.
And it's the lone signee who's been proven to be the most stable. So I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to be a draw.
If Ingolstadt win this, that's their third consecutive win. So what a turnaround there. And they'll be buoyed with confidence with their recent performances. So, you know what? Why not continue their great form against St. Pauli?
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. I reckon they're certainly better equipped to play on the road in the style that Keller's implemented. They showed that at Auer, where they beat them 3-0, and I think they're a chance. I really do.
What a job that Keller's done there as well. But I appreciate the work there.
What amazes me is it took him so long to get back in the game as a manager. I mean, he did a great job at Union. I mean, he overachieved with the squad he had. He was let go unceremoniously. He found a good fit at Ingolstadt. I think he's going to make it work. I think he'll keep them up, and we'll see. We'll see how they go. We'll see if they can get a result.
Union's loss.
Yes, indeed. The last of our group two games brings us back to Bavaria, the third Bavarian team in this segment. Greuther Fürth hosting Heidenheim. When the two sides met last time, it was a 2-0 win for Frank Schmidt's side. But when the two sides last met in Fürth, it was a Greuther Fürth 1-0 victory. So, how do you see this one going, Elliot? It's built up to be an interesting game. Heidenheim probably the favourites.
Yep.
But, can't count Fürth out.
No, of course not. And Fürth, as you said earlier in the pod, unlucky not to get all 3 points away at Kiel at the weekend. But I can't see past Heidenheim. I've been stupidly impressed with them. Again, going forward, they are very, very suited to play on the counter. And they're playing well. They're full of confidence. And I would fully expect them to go and take all 3 points here.
Yeah,
and if they do, what a statement that would be, like keeping the chase at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. I think they've been unbelievably fantastic. I didn't expect them to be where they were. They've got some great attacking players in Nikola Dovedan, Mark Schnatter, of course, and Robbie Glatzel. Mm. In fact, Glatzel has 11 goals in 14 appearances, and he averages a goal every 84 minutes in the Zweite Bundesliga, which is quite an impressive feat, considering he's missed quite a few games this season.
I just can't see past Heidenheim, even just referring to form, though. I mean, unbeaten in their last six Zweite Bundesliga games, having won three, drawn two. That is impressive form. And, who would have thought they'd been flying so high? Fair play to them.
Yeah, they've been good defensively, great attacking. They press very well when they don't have possession. And they caused Hamburg a lot of problems in possession. Just imagine what they could do to this Greuther Fürth side. It is kind of scary.
Mm.
Yep. We'll take a quick breather. The final group games is just around the corner. We're going to start in the Carnival City when Köln hosts Sandhausen. Yes, and the first of our Group 3 games is in Köln. They welcome 17th place Sandhausen. When the two sides met last time out, it was a 2-0 win for FC Köln. In history has shown that Sandhausen have never beaten Köln, either home or away. Elliot, you know, this might sound like very, very hopeful thinking. Is there any chance Sandhausen can get a result here?
I just think that's hopeful thinking. Although, I mean, yeah, obviously Köln, they've made an extremely slow start to the new year, but you would expect them back in front of their home supporters, 50,000 or so passionate Köln fans screaming, they will go over the line and they should really win here. I presume you agree.
Yeah, it's hard to not back Köln in this one, especially coming off that defeat in Paderborn. They've got some interesting selection dilemmas coming up. I mean, Anthony Modeste, of course, made his return.
If you were Marcus Anfang, what would you do?
I'd be... Or oh, he's match fit. That's the thing. He's match fit. I don't know. I mean, it's hard not to play Simon Terodde because he's obviously one of the greatest Zweite Bundesliga goal scorers of all time.
Yep.
But then you have Anthony Modeste, who in his last Köln season, he accounted for nearly half their goals in that season where they made the Europa League. So it's obvious that Modeste is fantastic for Köln. I'd almost be tempted to try and give it another half, you know, maybe 45 minutes with Terodde and Cordoba, and if it, you know, doesn't wield goals, then I'd bring on the tall Frenchman. I think he, you know...
There are worse problems to have for a football club. I mean, I think it just goes to show the strength of Köln's squad and potentially why they'll bounce straight back up. That is such a good impact substitution to have at your disposal.
Yeah, I mean, some teams like Schalke don't even have that luxury of having one good striker. And they've got three...
Bring back Pukki.
Yeah, bring him back. He's scoring goals for Norwich, so maybe he might be worth. But this is, of course, a Zweite Bundesliga podcast, so we'll keep it that very much. Our next game is in Darmstadt. Darmstadt host Dynamo Dresden, of course. This will be the first game for Darmstadt without coach Dirk Schuster. At the time of recording this, there hasn't been a replacement named. When the two sides met last time in Dresden, it was a 4-1 win for Mike Valpurgis' side. So the question is, can Dresden get their first win of 2019?
On paper, it's a brilliant opportunity to go and take a managerless side on, but for some reason, I just think it's got draw written all over it. But again, with both teams looking over their shoulder, it's a must win, but again, neither were too convincing, especially with Dresden's 0-0 at the weekend against Regensburg. They just... seem to lack the clinical touch, and away from home they may find it even harder. So it would be interesting. Do you think that there'll be a reaction from Darmstadt having got rid of Schuster? Or
I think so, but it would be dependent on who is the caretaker boss for this match, what style of foot they were playing. You'd like to see them be a bit more, attacking. You know, they haven't been particularly good going forward. They don't create a lot of chance or good quality chances. It's going to be tough.
It's a very bold move, though, getting rid of him before a home game. Like,
yeah, it is.
Don't know if I.
Yeah, I don't
like agree with the logic.
I don't like the timing, and in fact, we'll do this question now. This is a fan question. He has two questions, but we'll answer it now because it seems like a good time. From Dennis at Dennis ZZZ Sport. He asks, what do we think of the sacking and was it appropriate? I think they should have done it in the winter break, personally. I think they'd regressed.
Well, make more sense.
Yeah, they'd regressed and give the new manager time over the winter break. I don't like how it was handled. I don't think they were improving, and I think it's the right decision, but at the wrong time, it didn't make a lot of sense. Elliot, do you agree?
I think you've hit the nail on the head, yeah. No, it's true. I mean, one win in their last 10 games, pick up only 6 points. It is relegation form, and a change was needed, but again, why do it midweek before you've got a brilliant chance at home to get 3 points against a Dresden team who could be for the taking there? Whoever's coming in, that obviously their hope is, I presume, to new manager, boy the side, give a reaction. But you are asking a lot. You can't bring in your own players. You've not really had time on a training pitch. So only time will tell. But yeah, the timing is, I don't know, bizarre to say the least, and Schuster may feel hard done by.
Yeah, absolutely. The last of our games for Matchday 23 is in Aue. They take on Duisburg. When the two sides played this fixture last, it was a 2-1 win for Aue. But surprisingly, Duisburg have won the last four fixtures played in Saxony. It is a surprise. But there's some interesting things to go with this game, that both teams are terrible at set pieces one way or the other. In fact, a third of goals given up by Duisburg this season have come from set pieces. So, with that in mind, is there a genuine winner in this fixture?
Did you say that Duisburg were the worst for conceding from set pieces?
Yeah, they've conceded a third of their goals. They are, yeah, they're statistically the worst set piece team. Defensively, yeah.
Our are the worst when it comes to scoring set pieces, so who knows? They could nullify each other. Thinking for Duisburg, this is going to be a must-win game for them. Surprising good form away from home at Aue, but watching them over the past few games, even at Bochum a few weeks ago, they just lack the defensive capabilities, I think, to stay up this season and lead goals. And yeah, as a result, I can't see them getting anything from the game, and potentially they'll be cut adrift slowly.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, you know, Aue showed the response that we came to see from them towards the end of 2018. They looked very good against St. Pauli, especially in that second half. History has shown it's a bogey fixture for them at home, but I think they'll break the trend. I think they'll get that mojo back, and I think, you know, they'll turn the Erzgebirge Stadion into a fortress that they've done for so many, many years.
After such a performance again at St. Pauli, their confidence will be flowing, and in front of their own supporters against a team who are bottom. If I were a betting man, I would probably back the host there.
That makes two of us. That's the end of our preview. We're going to go straight into the topic questions. We have quite a few to get through, which is fantastic to hear. The first is from Mike Medici at Mike Medici 1. He's interested in the cost and perception of VAR in the Zweite Bundesliga next season. He also wants to know the sustainability and cost difference of the Bundesliga and Zweite Bundesliga, i.e. TV money, player wages and fee. Is the gulf as big as in the UK, getting better or worse? We'll talk about this off air, Elliot. I think the perception of VAR in the Zweite Bundesliga is not particularly strong. I think from a financial standpoint, a lot of these smaller teams might struggle. They might need help from the DFB to help fund such projects. Obviously, VAR is not particularly cheap to run, but obviously it is something that we could kind of agree on, that it needs to come in because the refereeing hasn't been particularly good this season.
The refereeing's not been good this weekend. I think if you were working for Arminia Bielefeld, you could feel, I mean, you would strongly probably feel for it with the game this weekend. There was the wrongly given red card, foul red card, score from that. If VAR was in the Bundesliga, that wouldn't have happened. But then again, I've not really heard anyone come out and call for it after that game.
Yeah, I think it's quite evident that potentially the fans don't really want it. They're happy with the way it is, but I guess VAR gets rid of those bad decisions, and that was a game-changing decision, because not only did Berner get sent off, but they scored from the preceding free kick, not taking away from the free kick because it was brilliant, but it's one of those things where he doesn't get sent off, it's a free kick for Bielefeld, and it's maybe a different game. So it's a tough one to make, and some of those penalties as well this week would probably have been rescinded as well.
I think everyone's agreed that VAR, when used correctly, is a brilliant technology to have, and it should be introduced, but it's just whether it's sustainable or not. And if it's going to come down to little micromanagement of a team's budget, I'd personally rather see them have that to be able to spend on bringing in better players to the league than to bring in this technology. But then if the DFB can fund it, that could be a solution. But it is a trick one. I think the gulf between the two leagues is fairly substantial at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. The smaller clubs compared to the big ones, it is very, very noticeable. The second question that Dennis at Dennis ZZZ Sport had for us was, what was Mike Valpurgis thinking when it comes to his substitutions in the game between Jan Regensburg and Dynamo Dresden? Was it necessary to switch out his best players? Elliot, what are your thoughts on this?
Very, very, very dull game. I don't think you could really blame the manager there. Yes, to take off your striker at half-time wasn't the best thing to do, but chances were there for both teams, and it was an exciting game, but I would think the two goalkeepers would have to be praised. Yourself?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, when your striker's not getting it done, like has been the case, I mean, you can see the logic behind it. He might have seen something different, like he might have wanted to see a different look from his side and just try something different. That's the only thing I can really think of. But I do agree, like, we got to praise the goalkeepers. They were fantastic, and they really were the difference. I mean,
sometimes if you just don't get the rubber of the green, you've got to hold your hands up and say, two very good goalkeeping displays. But again, yes, probably. I mean, yeah, if I was a supporter, I would not be happy seeing such defensive substitutions made when the game is after taking. But then it depends, I don't know. Do you want to sit back, take the point, or risk it for the extra two? As Chris has found out, it's a difficult job being a manager.
That it is, and we do not envy them one bit. Our last two questions come from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. He says, hello, everybody. He says, do you think Kern's recent struggles are just a blip in the radar, or is there something else at play? So we'll do the first question first. Elliot, what do you reckon? Do you reckon it's a blip, or do you think there's a real issue going at FC?
I reckon it's just a dip. Let's not forget, so they've got the game in hand. They win that, they're just 2 points behind first. I mean, Taroda and Modeste up front, the strength in their squad is incredible. And yeah, I fully expect them to. That is expect, I think they will. Recover well, win at the weekend, and continue their push for promotion. What about you?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, they've got too much quality in their squad to be in a situation where they're really struggling. We've seen, you know, Anfang try things. You know, obviously he's reverted to that 3-5-2, which has been largely successful. But I think at times they're very vulnerable defensively. They've given up some pretty ordinary goals. Obviously, exclude the goals against Paderborn. There were some gems in that one. So I'd say it's a blip.
If you haven't, definitely watch those highlights for those goals.
Oh, absolutely. Find wherever you can. They are two of the best goals you'll ever see. And if they don't put a smile on your dial, then I'm not entirely sure what will. The last question.
But then,
you go. Yeah. No, you go. You go first.
Sorry, just quickly to end on the Cologne. Evan will expect him to bounce on and fully expect him to be our. But yeah, they do have some slightly tough fixtures coming up. So maybe just keep an eye on that one as well. Facing Paderborn and co, so could be interesting.
That it will. The last of Steel Penguin's questions, he wants to know, who do you think will survive the relegation battle? There are obviously four teams that really are fighting for it, but a string of unfortunate results could see teams like Darmstadt, Dresden, Fürth, Aue also join in this mix. I guess we'll go with out of the bottom four, just for the sake of okay. argument. Who do you think avoids automatic relegation?
I think, you know, I've been impressed by Ingolstadt of late, not just because they beat Borkum, but I think they've definitely turned the corner and will be okay. I think MSV probably doomed at the bottom. They have seen luckless, and same with Sandhausen. Slightly boring answer. I can't really see the bottom changing from how it is at the moment, bar potentially Ingolstadt overtake Magdeburg. But I think that they'll be fine in the playoff as well. What about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. I think Ingolstadt and Magdeburg will be safe. I think Magdeburg have really turned the corner, the turn of the new year. I think the winter break really did a wonder for them. And they're playing some really efficient football. As they did against Ingolstadt, they only had four shots on goal and they won that game 1-0. So I think they've turned a corner. They've found ways to win games. I think Ingolstadt as well. I have this inkling that Darmstadt and Greuther Fürth might get dragged into this relegation battle, even Auer as well.
Yeah. But we said it before, this is one of the best leagues in the world, because separating 8th and 16th, it's only 11 points. It's just so much left to play for and so tight. Whereas, I mean, teams can easily get dragged into that, so easily.
Yeah, and that's why we love this league. It's super crazy. We have no idea what's going to happen. And that's why we watch it. Before I go, Elliot, is there anything you'd like to promote?
Wow, Matt, there actually is. If you haven't already done so, VfL Bochum have founded a English Twitter account where you can find all your news, opinion, incredible things. I would highly recommend that you follow. There's no bias there involved at all. But this year, the club's started to translate match reports, match previews, quotes on our English. We've got an English website now, so we're sort of developing with the times, getting up to it, and helping to really reach the Zweite Liga to a wider English-speaking audience. Because, as we've discussed, it's an incredible league, and more should know.
That it is, and you should get on it. It's fantastic to see another club branch out into the English speaking community, and you'd love to see more teams, whether Bundesliga or Zweite Bundesliga, take that plunge. I'm going to selflessly promote two things. Coming up on Football Bloody Hell is going to be my match analysis on the Heidenheim and Hamburger SV fixture, and also for Total Football Analysis, I do encourage getting the latest magazine. It is only £5, so it's not too much. You get excellent analysis, player analysis, coaches, tactics. In fact, there's a fantastic piece on Tim Walter by a writer by the name of Tobias Hahn. It is fantastic. I also have a piece in there on Alexander Nubel, so I very much recommend it. From myself, Matthew Carriage, and Elliot Turnbull, thank you for listening to the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We hope you enjoy your weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football.
Ritter. Und er ist drin! Der ist drin! Bist du des Wahnsinns? Paderborn dreht das Ding hier komplett.